Oh, these are the letters for Scooter Galooza, yeah.
You cut that off.
Yes, go ahead and start. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. I'm going to read the first four verses. First Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. I'm going to stop right there. What I want to talk about is fables. I want to do it today, probably some other days. Paul warns Timothy not to give heed to fables. Now, I looked it up in Strong's, and the word fables is translated from the word muthos, M-U-T-H-O-S. That's how we spell it. The Greeks use them little squiggly things, okay? But they put the pronunciation there in Strong's on my computer program, and that helps a lot. It's used five times in the Bible, the word muthos. Four times by the Apostle Paul. Three of them to Timothy, one to Titus, and Peter uses it one time. Every single time it's used, it's bad. Fables are not good in the Scripture. So whatever these fables are, they're bad.
Yeah.
The definition from Strong's for this word, it starts off, it's really kind of weird, because it starts off, the first definition says a speech, a word, or a saying. The second one says a narrative, or a story. The third one says 2A, a true narrative. Then it goes to 2B, it's a fiction or a fable. And number 2B1 says an invention or a falsehood. Now, I did do a little looking online. I searched it on Google and stuff. It's cool, you can, stuff you can do nowadays. You can get a Greek lesson for free. Because it states that when this word was originally used, it was used for like a speech, a word, or a saying, or a narrative, a true narrative, a story, okay? But then as time went on, it became more and more used to the way Paul's using it here as an invention, as a falsehood, as a fable, as a fiction. And this is where we get our English word mythos, from which comes myth, mythology, foolishness,
yeah.
Falsehoods, and fables. Mythology. Now, that's the context that Paul is using it here.
Yeah.
As falsehood. And I believe that's the way Peter used it also, and the rest of them. We're going to go there in just a minute. Because here in 1 Timothy 1 and 4, Timothy's told not to give heed to fables. And he lumps that in with endless genealogies. Because the Jews were really big on genealogies. Not like primitive Baptists today, anything, Mason. baptized by a Baptist preacher, baptized by a Baptist preacher, baptized by a Baptist preacher, all the way back to John the Baptist, who practiced alien baptism. I never have figured that part out yet. The reason he lumps these two together is that they both minister questions.
Yeah.
One says ministers, one of the translations says ministers' questionings, ministers' doubts, and it leads to debates.
Yeah.
He told Timothy, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That's not up for debate.
Right.
The doctrine, singular, is one. And it's not up for debate. It's not up for doubt. You can doubt yourself. That's fine. But you don't doubt Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You don't doubt Christ's work.
Yeah.
You don't doubt God. And it is not up for debate. And that's what these fables are good for. And nothing else. Now, then he goes on to state what fables are not good for. They're not good for godly building up of Christ's people.
Mm-hmm.
Not rather than godly edifying, which is in faith.
Yeah.
The building up. The growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what genealogies are for. That's not what fables are for. So according to Paul, the best these fables can do is not teach God's people. And that sounds like something to avoid. Then if you would go to 1 Timothy 4:7, you'll find, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, far be it from me to bring up old wives' tales on Mother's Day. I didn't pick the day. I swear to God I didn't. I didn't do it on purpose. Okay? But I will say this. Old wives' tales are not the sole province of old wives. Plenty of men are up to their ears in gibberish, which tries to pass itself off as folk wisdom. Some of it, religious folk wisdom.
Sure.
Now, this is the time in the sermon when I'm going into my stand-up comedy routine. Okay? Situational comedy, or realistic, okay? Swear to God, this was told to me as truth. Last night I heard someone told Debbie, okay, my wife, that their preacher was preaching that night, last night, Saturday. They're having a meeting, evidently. And he was going to preach the whole sermon laying in a coffin. And I said, God, I'd like to be there. Because I would go around behind, slam that lid shut, and just sit on it. And if he's got a microphone in there and still can come out over the speakers, I'd like to hear what he said. I would. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Well, refuse profane and newfangled preaching from coffins. Please. Somehow, I mean, I understand what people do, and we've commented some on Elder D.J. Ward. I mean, it's not that he's putting on a show, that's the way he acts. And that's the way he talks. But what he says is true.
Right.
What he says is right. And he is preaching Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow this guy laid in a casket, I don't think he's going to do that.
No, he won't.
I don't even think he's going to come close, if you really want to know the truth about it. Because if you want to preach a sermon from a casket, I can do it. Here's my part, I'm dead. You know?
Yeah.
the next move, the only move, is not up to me. But I bet you he won't say that. Anyhow, Paul tells Timothy to refuse profane, base, base, and old wives' fables. And whatever these fables are, they are not an exercise unto godliness. Then we come to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4. I'm just going through these kind of quick. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That don't sound good either. I mean, this is a warning, chapter 4, the sternest type. He tells Timothy to preach the gospel, to be ready to preach at the drop of a hat, instant, in season, out of season. He tells him to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Singular, again, doctrine. Why? Because there's coming a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure it. Because to them, it is enduring. It becomes like work to them. The definition of the word endure here is to hold up, to hold oneself erect and firm. It's work. To sustain, to bear, to endure, and they will not endure it. Sound doctrine. Now, I got an example of this, in a way. I told Earl this story one time. He got tickled about it. When I was a kid, we had a dog. Her name was Lady. She was a Belgian sheepdog. Long black hair, beautiful dog. She was, by my definition, an outside dog. Okay? Now, see, I got neighbors who tell me their dog is an outside dog, but their dog is an outside dog because they don't let it in the house. It wants in, but it don't, you know. My dog would not come in the house. Swear to God. This is a true story. I was probably 8 or 9, you know. I've got 7 brothers and sisters. My mom went somewhere and left just the older ones, you know, home, my sister and them watching us. So we got that dog by her chain and brought her around the house. We drug that dog, and I literally drug that dog in the house by its chain. I was pulling, or my older brother was pulling. I was pushing from the back. It was Saturday morning. We were watching cartoons. We brought the dog in the living room, and she was heading for the door. I mean, she wanted out. We kept her in there for a little while by feeding her hot dogs. We were in the living room. We wanted to pet the dog. We wanted the dog in the house. That's all it was. You know, we wanted that dog, our dog, which we loved, in the house. And we broke up hot dogs and we'd feed them. Once the hot dogs were gone, the dog was heading for the door again.
Yeah.
The dog endured sitting in front of that TV with us. But it didn't want to be there. It wanted to be outside. And that's where it went, you know. Luckily, we took it outside and it didn't get loose. But that come to mind when I was reading this. They will not endure sound doctrine. They may for a while. If you can provide them with a little entertainment, you can provide them with a little whatever, but they don't love the truth. They don't love sound doctrine. And they will not endure it. It becomes work to listen to Christ proclaimed. We've heard this. It's too hard.
Yeah.
That's hard. Are y'all deal too much with words? Christ heard that part. This is a hard saying.
Yeah.
Who can hear it? Mm-hmm. Well, they couldn't hear it because they left. They left, and guess where they went? They went away from the truth of God and Jesus Christ and were turned unto fables. Because people will leave this place right here. People have left this place right here and go to another place.
Yep.
Where some guy's laying in a coffin trying to preach to him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And y'all be ashamed because it's around the Beckley area. Okay. My wife sometimes has a bad attitude toward Raleigh County. I'm sorry. It's nothing against you guys at all whatsoever, but... You know, some of the people she works with are just, you know, wee. Lord have mercy. Either religious to a fault or heathen to a fault.
Yep.
One way or the other.
Yep.
You got the extremes. But they leave, they turn to fables. And whatever these fables are, they're not the truth.
Right.
They're not the truth. Now, Titus 1 and verse 14, Paul's writing to Titus. And he told him, again, to rebuke some sharply, that they may be sound in the faith.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's what it takes. In verse 14, it says, not giving heed to Jewish fables
mm-hmm.
and commandments of men, that turn from the truth.
Yeah.
These fables are involved with a lot of turning, mm-hmm. according to the Apostle Paul. And he lumps fables, even Jewish fables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of good stuff in this First Testament here. They call it the Old Testament. But that ain't what the Jews were concerned with, a lot of them. Y'all are eating without washing your hands. Y'all are eating without washing your hands. You're unclean. Christ said, hooey! It's junk. It's garbage. It's not what goes in. It's what comes out that defiles. What comes out of the heart defiles a man. Not what comes in, because what comes in goes back out.
Right.
It doesn't defile a man. Now, that doesn't mean, please do wash your hands before you eat, okay? Especially if you're around anybody in the medical profession, wash your hands anyway. I've got nothing against that, but that's not what defiles a man. And Paul lumps fables here in with the commandments of men. That's not good. That's not good. The truth of God is not in fables.
Right.
Well, I thought I heard a rooster crowing right before we started singing. The truth of God is not in fables. Fables are dangerous.
Yeah.
The truth of God in Jesus Christ, who has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, is not found in fables. As a matter of fact, what Paul says here, fables lead away from wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Fables turn from Christ just like the commandments of men. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 15:19 says, but in vain, that's not good, do they worship me, teaching for doctrines, plural, the commandments of men. Mark 7:7, basically the same verse, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. And Colossians 2:20-22 says, Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. Washing your hands. After the commandments and doctrines, again plural, of men. Fables are right up there with vain worship. That's where they belong. Whatever these fables are, they do not lead to the truth. Now the fifth mention is in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. And Peter is writing here, actually in the verses preceding it, about dying in a way. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease, after I'm dead, to have these things always in remembrance. Peter says, I want you to know this after I'm gone.
Right.
And we still do, because it's here. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Cunningly devised fables. Fables can be smart. Fables can be sneaky. Some of these things are not just thrown together willy-nilly. Some of these fables are well thought out. And if you can avoid or thinking of the false beginning they start with, the false premise they start with, they can be logical. And say, this is the way it is. They go right down the line. Cunningly devised. Sneaky. They can be insidious. I like that word. But the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ was not learned from cunning stories. Peter states it here. I was an eyewitness of the majesty, of the power, and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wasn't alone. We don't just have one man's word for it. Others also saw him and his majesty. This Jesus Christ is not made up. He is not a creature of someone's imagination, not the one in the Bible. This Jesus Christ is not a part of a con, somebody trying to con you out of money. But whatever fables are, they do not know of the power, the coming, and the majesty of God, Jesus Christ. So, here's the list. This is what fables are. Fables are things that minister questions, doubts, and debates. Fables are profane and are base. Fables are like old wives' tales, dubious stories trying to pass off as wisdom. Fables are what you go to when you leave the truth. Fables turn from the truth of Christ. Fables are not a source for the apostles. And fables are lies. Now, the next thing, some things fables are not. They are not good for godly edifying. They are not an exercise unto godliness. Fables are not the truth. Fables are not an eyewitness to the power, coming, and majesty of Christ. Fables are not good. Fables are bad. And fables are not the truth. I just wanted to write that one down again. Walter, it's kind of turned into a litany here. Mm-hmm. I still like that word, too. There's a list. Now, I wrote some of this stuff, not mostly this part, but what I'm going to get into later, about 20 years ago. And I found it in a notebook. I went looking for it. I was pretty sure I had it. And I'm using that for a springboard into this. Because I read this stuff. God almighty, I was a bit of a hothead 20 years ago. No, I didn't write anything bad on there. I think everything I wrote is still true. But I think I can maybe word it a little better now. Let's just put it that way. Well, I've told Walter this, and I'll confess up here. My biggest fear, standing in this place right here, the biggest fear that I have is that I won't make any sense. I want to be able to make sense. I mean, I ain't swearing, you know, that you'll get everything out of it that I want to put into it, or that I'm hoping you get a lot more out of it. But I just don't want to sound like an idiot, and I don't want Christ to sound like an idiot, because he is my God. And this is about him and how all this relates to him. And I want to make sense. When it's all said and done, that's all I ask, you know, that I don't lie. And it makes sense, because I sometimes don't make sense. Don't tell nobody. But I also figured out something reading this stuff again, and where I got to thinking about this is I found out I hate lies, especially lies about God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind fiction. Okay? I don't mind fiction when it's labeled as fiction. Mm-hmm. When it's told as a story and it's you're told it's a story. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened with that War of the Worlds thing. Back on the radio. People went a little wild because they didn't know it was fiction. Mm-hmm. Well, people are crazy. I'm sorry. I don't mind fiction when it's labeled as fiction, but I have a real distaste for people trying to pass fiction off as truth.
Right. Right.
Truth with a capital T. Mm-hmm. And there are lies everywhere.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by them. On TV, the radio, at work.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I turn around, somebody's lying. And I don't like it. So I've got a list of some fables I'm going to get into later. You know, I got to kind of, I wrote this down even. I kind of feel like Jimmy Durante. I got a million of them. They're out there.
Yeah, they are.
They're out there. And I'll tell you this, first fable number one that I wrote down here. Man has a free will. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's a big lie. And it's everywhere. But Lord willing, nothing happens. We'll get into that next Sunday. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this place and this time. And we ask for your blessings. And we ask that you give Walter the words we need to hear. And our ears be opened and our hearts be opened to understand your words, your will, and your way. Because that's what we want to know. We want to know the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And we ask it in his name. Amen.